It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Honoring Andrew Brandt for the greatest prediction in the history of the Super Bowl, better than Joan Namath's prediction of the Jets beating the Colts in Super Bowl III. Andrew Brandt, 31-16, Eagles over the Chiefs, and, quote, "I predict Mahomes will have one of the worst games of his career. It won't just be a subpar game. It will be a downright poor game." Oh, man. I hope I have one of those. Good afternoon, Jason.
Are you going to have him on the show?
I'm thinking about it, yes. I'm thinking of honoring him for an entire week before I get him on. But
okay, yeah. I mean, if you don't have his number, I still do.
No, I've had him on before. I know him. I don't know. The times I've had him on, sometimes he just, like, talked too much and didn't say anything that I found that compelling. But this...
Well, you're a tough grader.
When you have only an hour and you have Jason, when you have all the people I have, I'm sorry. I've told other people, you didn't make the cut. If I had 2 hours, then Andrew Brandt would make the cut. But 1 hour's... Sorry. However, when you do this, but anyway.
Well, in fairness, we squandered an entire segment yesterday with John Anderson and me with you not knowing what a decoy is. So it's not like all of the programming is high quality all the time.
Yeah, nicely done. I'm glad you brought that up. That was really necessary to make people aware of that.
No,
if they didn't, they can go. You could have said, go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and you can listen and confirm for yourself how bad it was. All right, let's get to, because everything is important as it relates to the Green Bay Packers. Isn't it all about Davante Adams until it's determined where he's going? Or the Jets haven't released him yet, but that's,
correct,
I thought, assumed. So now it's just, where is he going to go next? Is that too quick, or is that appropriate?
Well, here's the thing. Like, if I'm the Jets, I'm hoping that there's enough interest that I can hold on. Because, look, what's interesting about Devontae's contract situation is that he adjusted his 2024 compensation to make it more salary cap friendly for the Jets when they acquired him from the Raiders. But he left 25 and 26 the same. And those there's not like a built-in roster bonus that requires, you know, you to make a decision like a lot of other contracts do. Instead, it's just got these astronomical $35 million base salaries that was designed for him to get another extension or be released by the Raiders when they originally signed that contract. So in his case, there's no like date of, well, we got to trade him by this date, otherwise we got to pay him this signing bonus. So if I'm the Jets, and, you know, I don't know if the Packers are interested or not. I just know that, you know, Devontae's open to that reunion.
Jason. You know the Packers are interested. It's just with
I
what
don't know
guideline?
That for a fact.
Really? Well, why would they not be interested?
Well, again, that's different than knowing for a fact that they are interested, isn't it? Like, why wouldn't they? I agree. Why wouldn't they be interested?
Now, the situation might be that it's impossible. I guess they could easily say,
know,
we're interested, like, in everyone.
And so, more importantly, so, like, I know that Adam Schefter, who obviously knows contract stuff way better than I do, said that he expects Devontae's, like, number to be $16 million. So, like, if you sign him to a, you know, 2-year, $32 million deal, if he gets cut, and you guarantee a little more than the $16 million for the year, first year, maybe that's the number that he gets. But what my point was going to be is, if I'm the Jets and Jeremy Fowler is saying that, you know, the Raiders and the Rams, or the Chargers and the Rams, might be interested, the 49ers moving on from Debo Samuel, might be interested, and those are all places that Devontae would also be open to going, then what I'm hoping for is for there to be so much interest in him that instead of releasing him, I can get a draft pick for him, right? And then how does that change the calculus for Goody? You know, is Goody going to want to give up a fifth-round pick to get him back? I'm not sure.
Really?
Is he more likely to? Yes.
A fifth-round pick?
How he is about, again, you know how he is with draft picks. So if he's able to get him for nothing in terms of draft pick compensation, because if they release him, remember, he also is not technically an unrestricted free agent, which means that he doesn't count into the compensatory pick equation. So he doesn't hurt the Packers in that department, whereas signing both Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney last offseason, I'm guessing they're not going to have, I haven't looked at it, I know there's people that know this way better than I do, but I'm guessing that they're not going to have a whole lot of compensatory picks coming their way. So if he's released and it's a free-for-all, then the other part of the supply and demand would be, are there going to be teams that would pay him more than Goody would be willing to pay? Because I think throughout the course of Goody's time as the GM, there have been instances where he didn't make trades because he decided that the compensation was too rich for his blood. And there were guys that he didn't sign or re-sign because the competition for their services had them commanding more money than he felt they deserved to be paid. So I say this all the time because I feel like people, just because compared to Ted, it feels so different, but he is way more Ted than he is Ron. And because of that, Ted always loved to go. I mean, think about.
Well, isn't that also because Ron didn't have the cap? And when the cap came, Ron said, I'm on out of this. I don't.
No, he had. I mean, the salary cap started, I think, in 94 or 93. Like, I think maybe even a little bit earlier.
But he was able to get the players that he wanted, I thought, without any problem with the cap.
Right.
And then it became a problem.
Quite frankly, now with the way the cap is, I think Ron would. You know, I know he's 86 years old or whatever, but
he'd like it.
I would think he'd like it now because it's so much. There's so many different ways to cheat the cap.
Yeah.
When back then there wasn't. So my point is just that Goody likes a good bargain, and like Charles Woodson was a bargain because he didn't have many other suitors. So yeah. I think his original deal was, I mean, I want to say 7 years, $37 million or something like that, like. It wasn't bargain basement, but it certainly wasn't top dollar for a guy who went on to become a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
I'm sure he said it. If there'd have been something else out there, he probably wouldn't have been a Packer.
Yeah, I mean, again, and not only that, but he was miserable himself his first year here, and the people around him he made miserable with how miserable he was. So the transformation that he underwent, he and I have talked about that a bunch of times. You know, I feel like it comes up every time he's on with Tausch and me. But it's incredible. Like, that's, you know.
Who does he credit for changing? Anybody?
Well, I think part of it was he just realized, given what he, you know, because remember, it's not like when he was with the Raiders, they weren't successful, right? They went to one Super Bowl. They got cheated out of another one with the tuck rule. So it's not like he played on Raiders teams like the ones that Josh Jacobs played on. So, I think the culture, I think Mike McCarthy, I think Aaron Rodgers, I think Al Harris, Joe Witt, I think they all kind of wore him down and he realized, you know what, this is, and I think the biggest thing, frankly, was that, remember, when he arrived in 06, and really his first 3 years, he was in a different defense. He was in a 4-3 system run by Bob Sanders. So the biggest thing for him was year four when Dom Capers arrived, and Dom Capers made him, allowed him to be the superstar that he was.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to Davante Adams, because I'm going to hold on to this as to increasing the possibility that Davante Adams comes, and that is the concern about the injury to Christian Watson. If you're not sure when he's coming back or how bad this is going to be or whatever, it seems to me that would increase significantly your willingness to pay more for Davante Adams, though I'm with you that he just isn't going to end up giving any picks. If it gets to that, forget it. But doesn't Christian Watson's situation, and shouldn't it, play a factor in his interest to some degree in Davante Adams?
Yeah, and so should the uncertainty with Romeo Doubs and his concussions during the second half of the season. Like, I'm not saying that I don't know, but Matt LaFleur did not tamp down the idea of concern about two concussions in a seven-week span or whatever it was. And you saw him in Philly. Like, that was scary stuff, especially with the Guardian cap on already. And look, both the other part of it is both Watson and Doubs are in the last year of their contract. So there's also, you know, there's questions about what their future holds in that realm. So, look, the problem that I have is that Brian Gutekunst in February of 2022 told us that Davante Adams was a Pro Football Hall of Fame player, and that he had no reservations about signing him to an extension because they had done the analytics on Pro Football Hall of Fame caliber players, and they are still very productive into their 30s. And he was 29 years old at the time of that trade. And I'm not saying that Goody lied to us.
I am.
But he went from saying that this guy is a Hall of Fame caliber player and we want to have him here long term to less than a month later
lowballing,
franchise tagging him and trading him to the Raiders.
Right. If he believed, and I said this when I was on your show, if he believed that, there's no way he would have acted the way he did, right? The two can't both exist.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, but again, I don't know what to make of, like,
I can tell you, Goody lies and doesn't care. His job is not to tell the truth to the media. His job is to do whatever is necessary to do the best for the Green Bay Packers. And telling the truth to the media is irrelevant. What he wanted to do clearly was to let everybody know that Davante Adams was really good for whatever purpose, I don't know. But it was not what he
drive
really
up the trade compensation.
Oh, yes, because it was not what he believed, because there is no way he believed that, given the other information you give you, that he would have acted the way he did. That's an even harder try to figure out than the Chiefs losing by 100. No, there's no right. I mean, you work real hard at it, and even if he hadn't lied in the past, I just think Goody's approach has always been, the truth is whatever I say is to best serve the Green Bay Packers. The truth?
Yeah.
Forget that. I need to do that in private with the people that are important. You want to join that club?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, again, he never said, you know, I think he would have the plausible deniability of saying, look, I never said we were definitely signing him.
I agree.
I said we have to weigh the risks, and there's a risk to signing him when he's going to be 30, but as he himself said, Goody said, there's also a risk to not signing him and what he does to the team. And I think it's fascinating that Tausch, of all people, who believe that, you know, Goody won that trade in a landslide, now, because they haven't been able to have a number one wide receiver emerge from the 2022 or 2023 draft classes, Tausch has had to acknowledge that it wasn't a win. If anything, they both teams kind of lost. So, you know, the idea of a reunion, given their situation at the position, given that, and this was my big thing, given that he would allow them to have a bridge type number one, who is still a legit number one receiver, but also can be there to help these other guys and whoever's going to be the next one, just like Jordy helped him develop into a number one. They don't have that right now. They chose not to have that the minute they traded him because they still could have drafted these guys and still gone through that process, and they chose not to.
Yeah, I would say there was no chance. I just think with Dobbs and Watson, and we talked, I just think there's – if he – and again, he says this not because he believes it, but a sense of urgency requires him to get Adams because of what you said about Dobbs and Watson. If they were all healthy, I would say for sure he's not coming. But go ahead.
Well, not just Dobbs and Watson. It's also you don't know whether Jaden Reed or Dontavian Wicks are going to develop into the players that you believe they're capable of being. They both – Reed dropped 10 balls, Wicks dropped 9. I actually think Wicks was playing better than Reed at the end of the season because he had a very steady second
half.
But
if you had all four healthy, you could gamble on – I still believe one of them will. You don't have four anymore. You got two and a half, two?
Yeah, two and a half probably.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Jason.